Yep.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Zoom Sunday morning service at Berry Street Community Church. If you're watching online somewhere a bit later on, my name's Dougie, and I'm the pastor here at this local church. In Luke chapter 23, which is about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are told that there were two criminals crucified with the Lord Jesus. And one of them insulted the Lord Jesus. But the other man, the second criminal, said this: "We are punished justly, for we deserve, but nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Lord Jesus died on the cross and rose again so that we would be his people. However long that's for, but we would be his people now and forever. We're going to sing a great old hymn that I love to sing that reminds us of all that the Lord Jesus has done for us on the cross. I think we're on mute. We should be. Nigel's going to roll the tape. Why don't we stand and sing this wherever you are, if you're able. Let's go, Nigel. Pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we thank you this morning that our risen forever Lord Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you that he holds our world, vast and mighty oceans, in the palm of his hand. Thank you that nothing happens anywhere without his knowledge and authority. And we thank you that he was cut off, not for his own sins, but for ours, that the reign of sin and death and our lives could be over. Thank you that he is the sinless Lamb of God. We praise you that he made the atonement for us to rescue. Not save ourselves, and we are saved from the great curse. And Father, we thank you that grace is given to sinners like us, that we don't deserve it, and that one day we will be received into heaven. Please forgive our many sins, the times in our lives today, this week, where we have not said what we ought, where we have not done what we ought. Done things we know that we shouldn't have done this on us. Help us today to sing praises to the Lord Jesus, to depend on him in prayer, to respond to his word. And please, we ask, would you have mercy on our country at this time of great fear? And we pray these things in the holy name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, you will need a Bible for this part of our service. And boys and girls, young people, you'll need to turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 11. Verse 28. Luke chapter 11, verse 28. Grown ups, you'll need a Bible as well. If you'd find that, I'll give you a moment to do that. Now, at this point in the life, the ministry of Jesus, lots of people are asking who he is. And why he's come. They want the Lord Jesus to do amazing miracles. They want him to prove that he's God's rescuer, God's Messiah, who's come to save us from our sins. And the Lord Jesus says in Luke 11, verse 28, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Now, what is Jesus talking about? Okay, now, I've got with me a sign this morning. Really important. A sign like this one could save our lives. It's a sign that's above the door. Every door down here, that's where I am. This sign tells us that where we need to go if there was a fire in our building. It's a fire exit sign. If there was a fire at church, these signs would tell us how we could get out, how we could escape from that fire. Now, the Lord Jesus, around this time, lots of people are asking him who he is, what he's about. And the Lord Jesus says, actually, what we need to be about are those who hear the word of God and obey it. So we're not to look for amazing miracles, amazing signs. Actually, when we look at Jesus, what we're supposed to do is obey what he says. We're supposed to look at the sight, look at the Lord Jesus and say, that's what I'm supposed to do. Now, when it comes to how we can be rescued from our sin, we are to be those who hear God's word and obey it. We're supposed to listen to the Lord Jesus. And when he tells us that he's the one who can save us from the punishment our sin, that he's our rescuer, he's savior. We're supposed to hear and obey what he says. We're supposed to trust him. We're supposed to say, Lord Jesus, I want to ask you to forgive my sin. I want to obey what you have said. I want you to be my rescuer. And through his death on the cross for our sins, he will be. He loves to rescue us. He loves to be the way, the sign that shows us how we can escape the punishment of sins. I wonder if you've heard and willing to obey the Lord Jesus and ask him to forgive you today, right now. We sang it last week. Again, a couple of lads in our house loved singing this last week. We taught them a few actions. Because we can't really see each other as we do this, I won't do them. But if you know them, or even if you want to make some up, that is fine. You go for it. But Nigel, would you roll the tape?
save the day. Take our sins away. Who can rescue us with mighty power? Super Savior to the rescue. Super Savior, mighty to save. Look, look, here comes Jesus. Up, up, and out of the grave. Super Savior to the rescue. Super Savior, mighty to save. Look, look, and here comes Jesus. Up, up, and out of the grave. He's the death crusher.
Death crusher.
Sin smasher.
Sin smasher.
Who's the mighty super savior? Jesus. He's the death crusher.
Death crusher.
Sin smasher.
Sin smasher.
Who's the mighty super savior? Jesus.
One, two, three.
Save the day, take our sins away. Who can rescue us with mighty power?
Super Savior to the rescue. Super Savior, mighty to save. Look, look, here comes Jesus. Up, up, and out of the grave. Super Savior to the rescue. Super Savior, mighty to save. Look, look, here comes Jesus. Up, up, and out of the grave.
Great. Let me give you some notices for what's on. Please stay around after the service. We'd love just to get into a few breakout groups and just spend some time. So if you don't need to rush away, we'd love it. Sorry, I just went blank there for a moment on my screen. Am I still out there, please? Someone? Yeah, okay, good. Excellent. So do stay around for coffee time afterwards. We'll get into some breakout groups. We'd love to get to know each other a little bit more. At 6:30 tonight, a group of us again kind of come back on Zoom to do that. If you'd like details for those, just contact us, send me a text, email at the church website address or wherever, then you'll find details for that. Let me give you some notices about a couple of things coming up. One is Holiday Club. During half term, we've got in our partnership of churches a partnership-wide holiday club. It's aimed really at primary school-aged children. Usually, we would all get together and it'd be a little bit of carnage and some Bible stories and some games and crafts and songs. Now, what we're trying to do is we've put some of that on YouTube, or we will, and there'll be three sessions. So you can binge them all on the first Monday morning of Holiday Club if you want, or you can space them out throughout the week. Now, as I said, there'll still be a Bible talk, there'll be some craft, probably some games as well. That's during half term. Primary school age children, probably focused at them. So if you get a wet day, or maybe several wet days, hopefully not, that's something that you can watch. Now, I also emailed out this week that our partnership of churches have started something called a podcast. Now, some people will be sitting looking at the screen saying, what's a podcast? Those who know, I don't have to explain much, but if you don't, well, it's a bit like an old school radio panel show, except that you can listen to it as many times as you want and at any time you want. Pastors of the partnership churches and some others from time to time gather together for about 20 minutes, 25 minutes. We've recorded talking about really important in our area at the moment. So one episode I know is coming up, like online church is pretty hard. So how do we think about that? How do we kind of interact with online church the way, I know that for some of you I'm preaching to the choir, but it might just help stimulate some thinking about that. Another one I know is coming up is, what happens when we pray and it feels like nothing's happening? Now, where can you find out details about the partnership podcast? As I said, just send me an email and contact the church. I can show you where to get that. I hope that makes sense. If you want any more details, as I said, please contact us. We're going to spend some time praying now. There's a number of people in our church family that especially need our prayers. I don't like to name people specifically because this goes out on the internet. I don't want anyone to feel embarrassed. Let me ask, please pray for me this week. This Thursday at 2 p.m. will be my grandmother's funeral. I'll have to travel up to Scotland and back at some point. Hopefully the Beast from the East part two won't that too much. But please remember our family. We're also going to pray for a mission. Let's pray, shall we? So, our Father in heaven, we know that this week in our church family, our wider church family, there has been sadness. There have been bereavements. There have been deaths. There have been people who are dealing with losing loved ones. We ask for your great mercy upon them. Father, you comfort those who are bereaved. And please, would they know your hand? Would they feel you close and nearby? We think of those who have lost jobs recently, those who are uncertain about the future. Would you grant great peace? For those looking for jobs, would you watch over them and provide for them in their time of need? Father, we know that lots of us haven't seen friends and family in some time. Help us to use the means that you've provided for that, like Zoom or like WhatsApp or whatever it is. Help us to encourage them and them to encourage us. And we pray also for those waiting on appointments, medical appointments, or results from that. We know that those can be times. Would we know you to be the God of all comfort? Father, we think a little wider afield. We know there was an attack in Kilmarnock in Scotland this week, and a number of people died. We pour out our hearts knowing that that is a tragedy. We weep with the family. And it makes us long for the return of the Lord Jesus, when there will be no more violence and there will only be peace. We pray for local churches in Kilmarnock to help in whatever way they can. We ask that you would help the police in their investigation as well. Father, we remember our country as it suffers under the hand of coronavirus. We thank you that cases seem to be falling. We continue to ask for your hand as the vaccinations roll out. We pray that this would not stop. And Father, help us to make plans to reach out to people in the coming month. Across our world, Lord, we know that there was a coup in Myanmar recently. We ask for peace in that land, not terror. We ask for justice, not tyranny. We know that a number of people groups in that land have been targeted down the years by the government. Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters. Help them to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of Sri Lanka, not too far away from Myanmar. We give thanks for some recent outreach events among the Hope of Glory mission. We pray that people would come to faith in Jesus. We pray as well for believers who are going through a tough time. Perhaps their families want to stop them going to church. Father, would you strengthen their resolve? And we give thanks for new members of staff at the orphanage and young people sitting exams. We long that the church in Sri Lanka would grow and be strengthened as we pray for that here. We ask all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing again. We're going to show a video of this. Mercy is more. This is one, and sing His mercy is more. Nigel.
What love could remember no wrongs we have done? Omniscient, all-knowing, He counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. What patience would wait as we constantly roam? What Father so tender is calling us home? He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Riches of kindness He lavished on us. His blood was the payment, His life was the cost. We stood neath a debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more.
Okay, I'm being told that I'm quite glitchy this morning. Seems that, you know, in internet land, we're a little bit, a few technical difficulties. Sorry about that. It may well be that if it still happens, what we might try is turning the video off and just having the audio and see if that makes a difference. So if I disappear but the audio stays on, don't change the channel. But we'll keep trying. Okay, we'll keep trying as we are. So I'm sorry about that. Now we are going to have a Bible reading. Please turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 11. And Chris is going to read Luke chapter 11 from verse 37.
Right, Luke chapter 11, verse 37. When Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him. So he went in and reclined at the table. But the Pharisee, noticing that Jesus did not first wash before the meal, was surprised. Then the Lord said to him, Now then, you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But give what is inside the dish to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, because you are like unmarked graves, which men walk over without knowing it. One of the experts of the law answered him, "Teacher, when you say these things, you insult us also." Jesus replied, "And you experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them. Woe to you, because you build tombs for the prophets, and it was your forefathers who killed them. So you testify that you approve of what your forefathers did. They killed the prophets, and you build their tombs. Because of this, God in his wisdom said, 'I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and others they will persecute.' Therefore, this generation will be held responsible for the blood of all the prophets that has been shed since the beginning of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be held responsible for all that. Woe to you experts in the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and you have hindered those who are entering." When Jesus left there, the Pharisees and the teacher of the law began to oppose him fiercely and to besiege him with questions, waiting to catch him in something he might say.
Amen. This is God's word to us this morning. Let me pray. Our Father in heaven, we want to be those who hear the word of God and obey it. We want to be those who do exactly what it says. We need your help to do that. Please remove whatever distractions. Please, we ask that the video feed would not be jerky and glitchy. We ask for smoothness now just for the next little while. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I grew up going to church. My parents were Christians, as were my grandparents. I went to Sunday school. I was read Bible stories at home. I know that to some people, it sounds something like the Ladybird book of growing up in a Christian home. But I can assure you it wasn't, you know, every day was ideal. My brother and I still fought with each other. As you can probably tell, I was cheekier than a great deal of many other children. But one real concern for those of us who grew up maybe in Christian homes or who've been at Christians for a long time is something that the Lord Jesus speaks to us today in our passage. It's the danger of religion. The danger of religion and religious rule-keeping in particular. It's the danger of growing up, knowing the right answers, knowing how to behave as the Bible would have it, but absolutely not making any difference to what's going on inside my heart. Even as a pretty young kid, I could talk about something like grace. I could probably even make a stab at explaining a little bit about what it meant. I could tick lots of religious boxes. But I'd never experienced that grace of the Lord Jesus, not properly in my heart. Now, the longer we're Christian, the more that we get to know the Christianity, I wonder if there is a real danger for all of us who are Christians, that we can look it on the outside, we can sing the songs, we can pray, we can go to church, we can give, but sadly inside, our hearts can be cold towards God. Now, the Lord Jesus today has a passionate warning for people like that. Today, the Lord Jesus says to us, beware the dangers of religion. Now that immediately might make you a bit confused. You might be watching this morning saying, well, the Lord Jesus is a religious figure. And Dougie, you're the pastor of a church. Actually, you're quite a religious guy. But unless we have a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, unless we've asked him into our hearts to forgive our sins, to trust him, then actually we've nothing. And we can go to church for years, all our lives. We can look very respectable. But if we do not know the Lord Jesus, then our sins are not forgiven and we will not be in heaven. Beware the danger of religion. Beware the danger of religious rule keeping. We're going to discover today the only way to counter that is to keep coming to the Lord Jesus for grace and actually to keep showing that grace to others. Let me tell you the story of what's happening in our passage today. Please, if you've not reopened your Bible, do that. Do that. Open it up at Luke 11, verse 37. If you look down at your Bible, verse 37, you see that the Lord Jesus is having lunch at a Pharisee's house. At the meal were Pharisees and teachers of the law. If you know anything of the Gospels, then you know that Pharisees and teachers of the law are usually opposed to the Lord Jesus. It's a bit of a stereotype. Not all of them thought this way, but the simple way to think about them is that the Pharisees and teachers of the law thought that the way you had a proper relationship with God was by religious rule keeping. Okay, both of these groups, Pharisees, teachers of the law, thought of themselves as very religious. The teachers of the law, they scoured the Old Testament so that they knew how to live to please God. The Pharisees, well, they were extreme in trying to keep God's laws. They thought that would keep them in God's good books. Let me give you an example. It wasn't just that they wanted to keep the Ten Commandments. So one of the commandments is remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. The Pharisees did this. Well, they thought, well, I want to measure how many steps. Here's my pedometer. I want to see how many steps that I should do before I break that commandment. And they said, well, maybe it's 5,000 steps, or maybe it's 7,000 steps, or maybe it's 10,000 steps. But they came up with a figure about how many steps that you could do on the Sabbath. Now, the Bible doesn't say that they had to do that. Now, you think, well, they're trying to keep, you know, make God's word. They're trying to keep it serious. They're trying to follow it seriously. And at the time, everyone thought that these were the kind of people who must be on their way to heaven. But Jesus doesn't speak to them the way that they expected. Jesus surprises the religious. He insults the religious. And ultimately, he's opposed by them. Now, what does he say to them? Well, he says, first of all, this: beware the danger of religion. Why? Because you're deceiving yourself. That's one of the dangers of religion. You deceive yourself. Look at verse 38. Before lunch, Jesus didn't wash his hands. The Pharisee was surprised when he noticed that Jesus did not wash before the meal. I know that in our hand sanitizing days, that sounds a bit minging, doesn't it? Jesus didn't wash his hands before lunch. Well, we wash our hands for hygiene. But the Pharisee would have washed his hands with an exact amount of water in a precise way. And it was part of his ritual. It was part of his religion. It was less about hygiene. Effectively, what he was doing was washing off all the sinful people that he'd come into contact with that day. And Jesus doesn't do it. Jesus takes the opportunity to expose the folly of empty religion. Look at verse 39. Then the Lord said to him, now then, you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and dish, But inside, you're full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people. Did that not the one who made the outside make the inside also? I love having shepherd's pie for lunch, okay? This is one of the dishes that I picked up from the kitchen at church. Imagine that after having my shepherd's pie at home, that you know what it's like when you have shepherd's pie? You've got all the stuff in the middle left over, you know, all the residue, and it's filthy. Now imagine that, you know, I said, you know what, Tricia, I'll wash the dishes. I know that might be hard to believe, but sometimes, okay? But I just said, I'll just give it a wipe on the outside and underneath, and then I'll put it back in the cupboard. No, it would be filthy, you know. Imagine you just left it there for a week or two. It would be awful. It would be disgusting. And Jesus is saying that with their religious rituals, that's exactly what the Pharisees are doing. Their religious rituals might make them look good on the outside. It might make them clean, respectable. It might make them look religious. But what needs to be cleaned properly is the inside of the dish. Jesus is saying what needs to be cleaned properly is our hearts. And no amount of wiping the outside of our bodies with a dishcloth will change what's going on the inside. I'll put this down. Our sin, our rejection of God, our stubborn refusal to follow him, that's what makes our insides look like a shepherd's pie dish after lunch. The Lord Jesus continued, verse 42, "Woe to you, Pharisee, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone." Strong words the Lord Jesus uses. He says, woe to you. What's going on here? Well, the Pharisees gave a tenth of everything that they owned to God. Now again, that's not a bad principle. That is taking God's word seriously. But they took it to extremes. It was as if they opened the curtains in the morning and looked into their back garden and saw dandelions growing and said, "We are so holy, I'm even going to give every tenth dandelion to God." That's not what the Bible commanded. And while they took that to extremes, they neglected the stuff that was important to God. Generosity to the poor, love for God, justice, the things that really matter, they neglected. While they were focusing in on some of the peripheral stuff. The Lord Jesus keeps going, verse 43, "Woe to you, Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogues and respectful greetings in the marketplace." I think this exposes some of what's really going on in their hearts. What was their religious effort all about? It was so that they would look good to others. Not the relationship between them and God, but what other people thought of them. They were hoping that others would say, she's a very religious person. And in verse 44, the Lord Jesus says, "Woe to you, because you are like unmarked graves, which people walk over without knowing it." In ancient Israel, if you walked over a grave, it was thought that it would make you unclean before God. It would make you unfit for God. And so if you happened to walk over a grave, there was a kind of religious ritual and a period of isolation that you had to go through before you could go back to the temple and worship. And Jesus is saying that the Pharisee and the danger of empty religion that they had was that they deceived themselves. They did not have a relationship with God. And actually, by their ways, they were having a toxic effect on others. Because when someone came into contact with them, they were dragged away from God, not dragged to God. If people thought, well, this Pharisee, if that's what it means to really have a relationship with God, then I can't do it. I won't be able to do it. What Jesus does here is expose the lie of religion. What's the lie? The lie is that I can do enough religious stuff, good things, to outweigh the bad. That old lie that religion loves to peddle, that there, somewhere there's a set of eternal scales, and as long as my good outweighs my bad, that then somehow I'll be fit for God. And Jesus says, it's a lie. It's a lie. Because we cannot clean ourselves up. We cannot clean the inside of our ditch. Jesus wants us to be very clear this morning that we're all unclean on the inside and that none of us can clean ourselves. We need someone to clean us up. The most religious person and the most obvious sinner or the most anti-religious person or the person who cares nothing about it on the inside are the same. Unclean and unfit for God, and we cannot clean ourselves up. It's the first thing I wanted to tell you this morning. The danger of religion is that it deceives us. Let me tell you the second danger. It's a hindrance to others. Religion will hinder other people. It won't draw them to God, and it won't help them find out who God is. It will actually hinder them. Let me explain. Now, as you can imagine, the hosts don't take too kindly to Jesus kind of saying woe to them. Imagine that. Doogie, why don't you come for lunch? And what I do, you know, remember those times when we used to go to people's houses for lunch? Anyway, but imagine that your visitor arrives and what he proceeds to do after lunch is say, woe to you, woe, woe, look at you, woe. You think, is that the time? You know, I'm really sorry, but we've got something that we've got to do. Would you awfully mind leaving now? But Jesus goes on because he says, this is so serious. I've got to highlight how dangerous religion is. Jesus calls out three more woes on the teachers of the law. After that teacher in verse 45 says, oh, Jesus, you're insulting us when you say these things. Jesus, he doesn't say sorry. He pulls out three more woes. Now, I won't go into too much detail on them, but verse 46 says that religion, here's one of the dangers, it loads people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them. Religious rule-keeping won't draw people to God. Doesn't give them hope. Jesus says it weighs people down. It tires them out because they'll know that they'll break the rules and they'll feel useless. And you kind of get the impression through the Gospels that when someone did not live up to their expectations, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were there saying, if only they were as good as me. Then the Lord Jesus goes on to tell them from verse 47, that by their actions, they're no better than their ancestors in the Old Testament who killed God's prophets. These people like Zechariah, when they came with a message from God that says, well, I know on the outside you're trying to honor me, but actually inside there's nothing going on. What did they do to those prophets? Well, they killed them. And Jesus is saying, these people are no different from their ancestors. And the Lord Jesus finishes with a tragic verse in verse 52. Woe to you experts in the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and you've hindered those who were entering. These guys should have been the way that pointed people to a relationship with God. But actually what they're doing, we're putting roadblocks and trip hazards and all kinds of things so that people actually could not have a relationship with God. Jesus is saying that religious activity of whatever flavor or kind will simply never open the door to a relationship with God. It will never give us the lasting peace or joy or comfort of knowing that actually I have a relationship with God. Religious activity won't do it. Why? Because every day we would wake up and think, am I good enough? Have I done enough? How could I be sure? So what counters these dangers of religion, that deception, that hindrance to others? We've got to keep coming to the Lord Jesus for grace. Got to keep coming to the Lord Jesus for grace. Why is the Lord Jesus so strong here? Why is he so passionate? Because he came to do what religion could never do. His death and resurrection make it possible for religious people and non-religious people and irreligious people and anti-religious people to be clean on the inside, to know and love God. The Bible says that Jesus died on the cross to clean the inside of the dish, not just the outside or round the sides or the bottom, but the inside. The Lord Jesus changed us and changes us so that our minds are not fixed on how many daffodils or dandelions we might have given to God, but actually that we care about our love for him and that we care about the things that God cares about. The Lord Jesus doesn't want the best seat in the synagogue. By his death and resurrection, the Lord Jesus has been exalted to the highest place, the throne of heaven. He says to us, if you're weary and burdened, if you keep failing at religion, he says, come to me. Come to me. I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy. And my burden is light. He says, come follow me. Don't try and clean yourself up and be good enough for God. He says, come to me. I'll change you. I'll make you good enough for God. The Lord Jesus gives us the knowledge of God that we need. And later on in Luke's gospel, as he died, we read that the curtain in the temple in Jerusalem, the great keep out sign, keep away from God, at the moment of his death was torn in two from top to bottom. Why? Because anyone who trusts in the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins is welcome to come in and know God forever. The Lord Jesus rose from the dead. He gives us eternal life. Now, I know that he commands us to obey him. And I know that some people would say, well, those are religious things that he wants you to do. But his commands are not burdensome. He promises us that. And he doesn't want us to do it in our own strength. Because when we become Christians, followers of him, he gives us his Holy Spirit who enables us to keep his commands. If we consider ourselves Christians and not Pharisees, we need to remember that we're only Christians because of the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. We did not deserve for him to change us, but he has. And as we rely on his mercy and grace, remembering that he loved us and gave himself for us, we'll keep going to him every day to fight that spirit of Pharisee that wants to well up in us, that proud spirit that says, I'm a good person, I'm probably better than others, and God's lucky to have me. The Lord Jesus helps us to fight that. The Lord Jesus helps us to remember that we are sinners who have been saved by grace, and we need that grace every day. And yes, there'll be days where we don't do that well at following Jesus, where we fail, and we feel the weight of that, and it may hurt. And where do we find comfort? Well, the Lord Jesus, who has done everything for God to accept me. And because of the Lord Jesus, God will never turn us away when we say, forgive us, Lord. He loves to help us in a time of need. And if we've understood this, we need to keep showing that same grace to others. Remember our verse of the year? And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Well, one problem of being a Christian for any length of time is that it can lead us sometimes to be a bit like Pharisees. We've not been exempt down the years. And we can be Pharisees about all sorts of things. I know I can. Church attendance, Bible reading. For some, it's what version of the Bible that you use. For some, it may be the songs that we sing in church. It can be all sorts. Remember, okay, this is the spirit of Pharisee in me. I remember I was studying for the Scottish equivalent of my A-levels. There was a little gang of us at church, and one of my mates didn't come to the prayer meeting one night because he was studying. And we phoned him up and asked him if he was turning his back on the Lord Jesus because he missed a prayer meeting. Okay? There are things in our lives that it is important as Christians that we want to do, we want to follow. But let's be really careful that we're not a hindrance to anyone. That we're not putting trip hazards and roadblocks in anyone's way of becoming a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we're not just getting on a hobby horse. What do I mean? Well, maybe think of it in this way. Parents and grandparents, if you guys are Christians, what do our young folks see when they look at us? Is our faith just a list of do's and don'ts? Is that all they see? When we say that we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus, what does it look like other than, oh, I don't swear? Or do you see what I mean? What is a relationship with Jesus? It's not just a list of do's and don'ts. Young people, are those of you at work, do your mates see Christianity defined only by what we're not doing? So I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. And so it makes their understanding of Christianity to be a bit like a Pharisee. These are just people who say, don't do this. And if that's only what they see, probably not showing the grace or the amount of grace that we've been shown by the Lord Jesus. We've just got to be careful about that. Finally, our time's gone. What if we don't consider ourselves to be Christians? Well, look at the very last verse 53. When Jesus went outside, the Pharisees and teachers of the law began to oppose him fiercely and to besiege him with questions, waiting to catch him in something he might say. They start to heckle him. Probably a little bit understandable as he's ruined their lunch with what he said to them, but they start to heckle him and get on his case. And it's because religious folk get upset at Jesus. He doesn't like it. They don't like it when Jesus says, well, your religious rule-keeping counts for nothing if you don't really love God. Now, I hope today that you see, if you're not a Christian, I'm not wanting you to be clean ourselves up. You've got to ask Jesus to come inside. I know we like to think of ourselves as not that bad, but Jesus says, don't be deceived. Call on him today. Through his death on the cross, through his resurrection, he will bring us to God as we ask him to do that. Let him change you on the inside. Let's pray, shall we? Lord of heaven and earth, please don't let pride grow in our hearts. Help us to see ourselves in your light. Would our pride shrink and decay and die? Make us the lowest of the low so that our spiritual riches would increase and multiply. Help us to faithfully keep a close watch on ourselves and to cling with a determined grasp to our humble Lord Jesus. When we fall, let us shelter in the righteousness of Jesus, who died for our prey. And when we escape, may we give all the credit to his grace. Keep us gentle and lowly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we are going to sing again. We're going to sing Yet Not I, a great song to finish with in light of this, speaking about how much everything is Jesus has done for us, and we've got to cling to his grace. And please stay around afterwards. Stay standing. We'll have our closing prayer afterwards. Nigel.
My joy, my I think, can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, I think we might have lost Dougie, so why don't I just close in prayer. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you they are justified by your grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that it is not all of works. It's not about religious rule keeping, but we thank you that it's all about grace through our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, there you go. Back again.
Sorry, I moved to see if the signal might be a bit better.